Stun guns are becoming popular on airliners. Seven family members are lost in the crash of a Cessna 421. And clueless GA pilots are keeping NORAD busy. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, July 13th, 2011. The New Jersey Star-Ledger reports the FBI is investigating the discovery by a rattled cleaning crew member of a stun gun left in the seat back pocket of a JetBlue flight from Boston to Newark Liberty last Friday. Reuters cites a spokesman for the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey in reporting the device looked a lot like a cell phone. FBI spokesman Brian Travers told ABC News investigators know who was sitting in that seat on the flight, but can't say for sure that was the person who brought the weapon on board. Reuters reports officials are not sure whether the stun gun was snuck past a TSA checkpoint, put on the plane after it landed, or even left by a law enforcement official. The TSA did manage to stop a passenger from bringing two stun guns onto a plane at JFK on Sunday. The New York Post reports that 53-year-old Orthon Mourkakos, a restaurateur from Alpine, New Jersey, told screeners he planned to take the stun guns to relatives in Greece, where civil unrest has grown recently. He reportedly claimed he had no idea you can't bring a stun gun on an airliner in a carry-on. So, when you travel this summer and you're standing in the security line, wondering why that video loop showing on the big screen keeps repeating all those decade-old security rules that you thought everybody knew, well, now you know why. A weekend trip to a family reunion ended tragically Saturday for a Florida family. The Associated Press reports 42-year-old Fred Teutenberg was flying his 38-year-old wife and five of their children home to Niceville, Florida from a family reunion in St. Louis and made it as far as western Alabama when he reported engine problems. The FAA says controllers diverted the Cessna 421 twin to Demopolis, Alabama, but the plane went down about 2 miles from the airport and was found inverted. All on board perished. Marengo County Coroner Stuart Eatman told AP the children ranged in age from 2 to 10 years. The Teutenbergs also had a teenage daughter who did not attend the reunion and who is now the sole surviving member of her immediate family. The 1979 Cessna 421 involved, N692 Tango Tango, was advertised for sale last year following an extensive restoration. It was equipped with Continental GTSIO 520 engines. That's a turbocharged flat six with reduction gears. The preliminary report from the FAA offers no clues as to whether both or only one of the engines failed or why. The NTSB will take it from here. The FAA has revoked the operating certificate of Bimini Island Air of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, an on-demand operator. The emergency order of revocation took effect June 27th. The FBI alleges BIA advertised and operated 15 scheduled flights between Fort Lauderdale and the Bahamas in March and April of this year, using a 30-seat Saab 340A twin turboprop. BIA is not authorized to use 30-seat aircraft for scheduled flights or even to operate as a scheduled airline. Bimini Island Air has petitioned for review, but did surrender its operating certificate to the FAA on July 1st. NORAD says it intercepted three general aviation airplanes near the Camp David presidential retreat over the weekend. Saturday, two F-15E Strike Eagles were scrambled to intercept a GA aircraft which was close to Camp David and not on radio at 12:17 p.m. Eastern Time. Later in the day, two F-15s were sent to intercept a Cessna 210, again near the presidential retreat, at about 6:26 p.m. Both those planes landed at Carroll County Regional Airport, where they were met by local law enforcement. Then on Sunday, NORAD says fighters intercepted a Cessna 182 about 10:36 a.m., that plane was also out of radio communication. That pilot also landed at Carroll County Regional. That makes five GA aircraft to be intercepted and escorted out of the Camp David TFR in the past month. It makes you wonder if some pilots have spent the last 10 years living under a rock or something. A pilot from Benton, Kansas, was hospitalized in serious but stable condition after apparently making a forced landing following engine trouble in his 1953 de Havilland DHC-1 Saturday morning. He's identified as 55-year-old Michael Frazier, a Benton resident. An update on his condition was not available from Wesley Medical Center in Wichita, where he was transported. The Wichita Eagle cites Kansas Highway Patrol sources in reporting the crash happened about 11 a.m. local time on the Lloyd Meshew Farm at 2759 Southwest Prairie Creek Road, just northwest of Stearman Field near Benton. KHP trooper Sean Hankins told the paper the pilot's landing attempt, quote, failed for whatever reason, and he tried to make another loop, another pass, and come back around. Witnesses said they heard sputtering and some engine issues. And when he came down, he hit really hard, and he kind of cartwheeled and came to rest against this building, unquote. The de Havilland DHC-1 Chipmunk was introduced as a military trainer in England following World War II, replacing the older Tiger Moth biplane. The Chipmunk was powered by the Gypsy Major four-cylinder engine that was first produced in 1932. Still ahead, a California accident triggers more anti-GA sensationalism. Terra Fugia gets DOT exemptions for the transition. And the best little airline in Pennsylvania gets its owner 12 years in jail. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, July 13th. I'm Paul Platt. As you get ready to make your journey to AirVenture this year, don't forget to pack your in-flight cam or other cockpit video recorder. Your recording could win you a new in-flight cam. On Saturday, July 30th at 1 p.m. Central, Sporties and in-flight cam will host an AirVenture forum and announce the winner of a new in-flight cam plus and a new in-flight cam 1080p. Entrants are encouraged to edit, experiment with different angles and viewpoints, maybe even mount the camera somewhere no one else has thought of. Now. Highlight videos are highly encouraged. Then, post your video on YouTube. Let the folks at InFlight Cam know where it is, and the video will be shared as a favorite on the InFlight Cam YouTube channel, on the company's Facebook page, and at InFlight Cam on Twitter. They'll be using the OSH11 hashtag to highlight these tweets, and don't be afraid to share them all with ANN via at Aero News. Simply put, the video with the most votes wins. Here's a hint. If you wait till the last couple of days, you're at a huge disadvantage. Give your favorite video a thumbs-up vote on YouTube and get your friends to vote. The only rule is to make sure the content is suitable for all ages. The winning video made with an in-flight cam will receive an in-flight cam plus. The favorite video made with other equipment will receive an in-flight cam 1080p. Good luck! The crash of a Mooney M20 last Thursday night in Watsonville, California, has fanned the coals of a heated local debate about residential encroachment on airports. Witnesses say the plane went down as the pilot tried to clear a fog bank on takeoff and describe a slow, nose-high attitude which sounds like a departure stall. Two adults and two children died. As sad as that is, the bigger issue in the community is the report by local police that the plane came down in the parking lot of Watsonville Community Hospital, slid 50 to 75 yards, and hit what was fortunately an unoccupied medical office building connected to the hospital. The Santa Cruz Sentinel published an editorial Sunday which says the crash, quote, has already renewed concerns about the proximity of the city's airport to the local hospital, as well as residential neighborhoods. The airport is owned by the city and does not have a control tower. Pilots are not required to file flight plans before taking off, unquote. Fortunately, the comments posted by readers were more informed than the editors. One writes, editors, your first sentence should read, the hospital's proximity to the airport, unquote. Not the other way around. The airport was deeded to the city in 1942. The hospital wasn't there till 1998. Another poster took the editors to task for their comments about no control tower and no requirement to file a flight plan, calling the observations red herrings. Quote, what is significant is the fact that government entities continue to fight to encroach on airports because of the open spaces surrounding them. They do this with taxpayer money that could be better put to use elsewhere, unquote. Other comments include one recognizing the economic value of the airport to the area. Find the paper through an FMI link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated July 12th, at aero-news.net. Apparently, NASA isn't the only federal agency ready to move forward with a highway-in-the-sky vision. The Terra Fugia Transition Rotable Aircraft has officially received a grant of all the special exemptions it requested from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. That makes it the first fly-drive vehicle to receive such special consideration from DOT since the Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standards came into being in the 1970s. Back in June of last year, the design got exemptions on the flying side. When the FAA granted the transition permission to bust by 110 pounds, the normal 1,320-pound LSA weight limit, in order to allow the structure and safety equipment needed to operate on highways. The new DOT exemptions allow the transition to use tires rated for highway speeds, but which are not ordinarily allowable for multipurpose vehicles. Polycarbonate, sold under the trade name Lexan, will also be allowed for windows in place of heavy laminated auto safety glass, with a bonus of better preservation of pilot visibility in the case of a bird strike. Terra Fugia, by the way, is Latin for escape from land. And finally today, Roger Sedlak's regional airline started raising eyebrows back in 2006. CQ Air was said to be a startup based in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which would serve destinations throughout the Northeast U.S. Over time, curious passengers, economic development officials, the FAA, and others started asking, where are the airplanes? The Albany Times Union reports Sedlak received $75,000 in federal funds from the FAA and $12,500 each from two unnamed counties to aid in the startup. Well, finally, in March of 2009, as ANN reported, undercover deputies from the Albany County Sheriff's Department posing as customers responded to Sedlak's advertisements for an escort service called Diamond Escorts on Craigslist. They determined his so-called airline was a front for booking hotel rooms, which were actually used for escorts to entertain their clients. Sedlak, his wife, and Kelly Kaler, an alleged third conspirator described as Sedlak's partner, each faced up to 35 years in prison on prostitution-related charges. The Morning Call newspaper of Allentown, Pennsylvania reports U.S. District Judge William Caldwell sentenced Sedlak last week to 12 years in federal prison and 10 years of supervised release after involving as many as 42 women in the online prostitution ring. According to the Harrisburg Patriot News, Sedlak got choked up while pleading with the judge at his sentencing. Quote, "The people who came to work for us, they were wonderful people. They were never prostitutes. They were hardworking women who had no choice but to raise money the way we did. We gave them a good place to work. It was safe." Unquote. CQ Air may not have been a real airline, but at least the customers didn't complain about the a la carte fees. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.